Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Kevin Bowman. Bowman is one of the organizers of 123 Guelph and a local advocate for electoral reform, which is top of mind for Bowman and others as the city of Guelph heads into the 2018 to 2022 council composition and employment status review. This process looks to see if the number of councillors, their employee status, and the wards they cover should remain the same for the 2022 election. But Bowman and others think that part of that should be an investigation if the next election should include ranked ballots or single transferable vote. Local electoral reform is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, there's always been a lot of discussion in Guelph the last few years about moving on electoral reform, and that's mostly in reference to the federal elections, since Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised that 2015 would be the last with first past the post, which is a system we're all familiar with. Still, electoral reform has, in a sense, already been achieved for any municipality in Ontario that wants to claim it. An update to the Municipal Elections Act passed after the 2014 election allowed Ontario cities and towns to use ranked ballots in their municipal elections. But in 2018, only one municipality took the province up on the opportunity, London. Coming out of 2018, though, there may be more pressure for municipalities to look at ranked ballots. We already have two other municipalities, Cambridge and Kingston, which passed referendums last fall to institute the new voting system for 2022, but that still leaves 441 who have yet to make a decision about an alternative voting system, or, more likely, they will just continue with the status quo of first past the post. Now, Kevin Bowman and his colleagues at 123 Guelph are trying to make sure that Guelph is not one of those, and why not? Over 3,000 people in Guelph signed a petition to push the federal government not to abandon their own electoral reform promises. Now, that may be why Bowman and others are petitioning the city of Guelph to look at ranked ballots now. That 2018 to 2022 council composition and employment status review that is going on right now is looking at things like how many councillors that the city of Guelph should have, whether they should be full-time or part-time, whether they should have a support staff, and how many wards there should be, along with where the borderlines should be drawn. 123 Guelph says how we vote should be part of that review as well. City Clerk Stephen O'Brien, meanwhile, has said that the method of how we vote will be debated after we figure out what it is we're voting on, how many councillors, how many wards, all that. But should we be thinking about these as two separate issues? Bowman would argue that we shouldn't. So on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, Bowman will make his case about why we shouldn't wait to have a discussion about using ranked ballots in Guelph. Bowman explains how they work and what he has taken away from London's use of ranked ballots in the last election and what it could mean for Guelph. We'll also talk about Bowman's own dedication to the cause, his attempts to advocate directly to city councillors, and his own back and forth with the clerk on the issue. And we'll talk generally about whether or not the electoral reform fight locally might be easier if Justin Trudeau had kept his promises federally. So I caught up with Kevin Bowman last week by phone. Kevin Bowman, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I first want to just ask generally, because you've been very active in pushing getting ranked balloting going in Guelph since prior to the last election. So why are you so dedicated to this cause? Why are you so interested in trying to enhance the local democracy by trying to introduce ranked balloting?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I got into it essentially through electoral reform, and I previously was and still am very active with groups like Fair Vote, pushing for PR at the provincial and the federal level. But within those groups, there was a bunch of people who got together and discussed the idea that, well, none of the provincial parties or federal parties at the time, this was like 10 years ago, were looking seriously at that. That was not an issue that was on the table or the agenda for them. And so the thought was, well, what if we went to the municipal level? It might be easier to get some changes to at least allow for the use of some different form of electoral system rather than first past the post at the municipal level.
Mm-hmm.
And then once people have been using a different ballot a little bit, it will become a little bit more familiar and less threatening. And so they'll start asking questions like, well, why don't we do this for provincial elections? Why don't we do this for federal elections?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if a change was proposed, they wouldn't immediately have the knee-jerk reaction of, well, I don't know what that is, so I'm fearful of it.
No, yeah, I've always thought that way, that ranked balloting is kind of, you know, pardon the term, the kind of a gateway drug into learning, you know, more different forms of casting a ballot, because it is probably the simplest of the various types of PR to describe and to get people to understand.
Yeah, the basic concept, particularly from the voter's perspective for ranked ballot, is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Literally just rank your choices in order, and you don't have to rank all of them. So if there's only two people that you think are worth ranking, you just rank those and leave everybody else blank, or you can rank all of them. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the places of tension is that amongst the PR community is that ranked ballot can be used in, say, you know, single winner type elections, and then, or in the case of municipalities, there are no parties. And so
right.
They argue, well, it's not really proportional. And that's true in those particular circumstances. But if there is no party, then whether it's proportional or not is sort of beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're electing a mayor, for example, like there's really no way to make that process proportional.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, thinking back to the last municipal election, yeah, that's having a ranked ballot when you have two candidates is kind of pointless, unless it's like a really tight race between the two of them. But actually, even then, because you can't drop off like a third. But if you have, like, say, in, you know, in Toronto, where you can have up to like 40 or 50 candidates,
mm-hmm.
it might make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that myself and the others at 123 Guelph like to point out, is that our current system, first past the post, it works great when you only have two candidates. There's nothing wrong with it when you have two candidates.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you introduce a third candidate, it becomes terrible. And the more candidates you have, the worse it gets.
Mm.
And, you know, ideally, in a healthy democracy, you tend to have more candidates rather than less.
Right.
And so, you know, we should probably use an electoral system that works under those circumstances.
Right. And because I think a healthy democracy would probably also be safe to assume there were more than two viewpoints. And perhaps it's a little irrational to think that two parties or two people might each absorb like 50% of the viewpoints in the electorate, or the 50 points of possible viewpoints on any issue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's start out with the basics. How would ranked balloting work? I mean, we've kind of sketched it out, but in terms of, let's say, our municipal election ballot, what would that look like when you would go to the poll?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one of the nicer things about discussing electoral reform at the municipal level in Ontario is that what ranked ballot means is very specifically defined by existing legislation,
mm-hmm.
unlike discussions at the provincial and the federal level about PR, where it's not defined what you mean when you say proportional representation.
Mm-hmm.
There's many, many ways to achieve that. But for the purposes of Guelph's municipal elections, you really only have two options: either first past the post, which is what we've always done, keep doing that, or you can do what the province of Ontario has defined as ranked ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have defined as ranked ballot is, from the voter's perspective, you would get a ballot that has all the candidates listed, and then you would select your first choice at a minimum, and then rank any of the other choices in order of preference that you want to. So if you just want to vote for one person like you always have, you can still do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to rank two people, three people, four people, up to, I think the maximum's three.
Mm.
Under the current legislation, you'd only be able to rank your top three choices.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the current thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the voter's perspective, that's what they would see on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
From City Hall's perspective, like the city clerk, who's actually going to be collecting the ballots and then tallying them and deciding, counting them up and figuring out who won, there's two possible ways that they would tally the votes, depending on whether you have single-member wards or multi-member wards. Now, in the case of the mayor's race, it's always just one winner, so it's just a straight rank ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works the same as any other single-member ward, where you count up the first-choice votes on all the ballots, ignoring the second, third choices, et cetera. And if anybody, any one of the candidates who's running gets a majority, meaning 50% plus one, mm-hmm. of the votes, then they win.
Right.
Because they would win under any democratic system, really.
They already have a majority.
Yeah, if you have an actual majority support, as opposed to just a plurality, like more than everybody else, but not 50% plus one. So if you've reached that threshold under a single winner race, then you're going to win no matter what. But as we all know, if you have a mayoral race and you have, say, five candidates running,
mm-hmm.
it's entirely possible for the person with the most votes to have, you know, maybe 25% of the vote, which is not a majority. It's not even close. And yet they would win. And there's real-life examples of this. There's, you know, Toronto city councillors who have won their race with 10, 12% of the popular vote
mm-hmm.
because there were so many other candidates running. That's kind of ridiculous.
Right.
So in this scenario where you don't have somebody who gets a majority of support on the first choice votes, then you take the person who had the least number of first choice votes and you eliminate them from the race, and you reallocate the people who voted for that person as their first choice to their second choice.
Right.
Now it transfers mm-hmm. from those people's first choice who's been eliminated to their second choice. And then you recalculate, and again, if somebody's crossed that 50% plus one threshold, they're successful, they win. If not, once again, you eliminate the person who has the least amount of votes, reapportion their ballots and keep going until you have somebody who has a true majority
mm-hmm.
and therefore, you can say is more accurately representative of the will of the voters who voted for them
right.
as opposed to somebody who wins a plurality.
And I just want to point out, too, that that's where the term single transferable vote also comes from. It's because the two terms have been kind of interchangeable, ranked ballot and single transferable vote. But that's where the transfer part comes in.
Right. Yeah. Now, in Guelph, we have two councillors per ward.
Mm-hmm.
So that throws in a little bit of an extra complication. But
right.
from the voter's perspective, they don't have to deal with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's purely on the clerk's office when they're tabulating the votes that they have to deal with this slightly more complicated way of calculating who wins
right.
because you have two possible winners. So instead of 50% plus one being the threshold, it's a lower threshold than that. There's a mathematical formula for it. It's not particularly complicated, but I won't go over it. Math formulas don't really work on radio.
Right.
But apart from the threshold being a bit lower than 50% because you have two winners instead of one, the process is essentially the same, where you tabulate the first choice votes.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who crosses that threshold that constitutes a majority, they would successfully be elected. And if you don't have two successful people who have crossed that threshold, then you eliminate whoever has the least amount of votes, reapportion mm-hmm. their ballots based on whatever those people's second choice was, until you do have two people
right.
who meet the threshold.
Right. I also want to point out, too, that the legislation that made this possible was passed by the last provincial government, and it opened it up so that it could have gone into effect in the 2018 election, but there is only one municipality in 2018 that decided to take the government up on that offer.
Yeah, that's right. So when the government changed legislation to allow municipalities to use ranked ballot in addition to continuing the same as they always have with first past the post, they didn't specify what the appropriate method for making that change is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to each municipality. The councillor, if there's a majority on council who want to move to ranked ballot, they can just pass a motion and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could use a referendum process, or they could do public consultations. It's up to the municipality. And in the case of London, which is the case you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
they had a majority of councillors on council who wanted to use ranked ballot. So they just passed a motion and said, we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And told city staff, get her done. and so, yeah, they are the first to have used ranked ballots in Ontario, and they did that in 2018. And they have some staff reports that can be reviewed, and there's reports in the media where they did interviews with people coming out of the ballot boxes and asking them how they felt about it. And several of the councillors who got elected in the 2018 election had some interesting reflections on what the campaign was like. They said it was different than other campaigns they had done.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot more civil. People were less likely to go the negative route because they want to be your second choice.
Right.
They're not going to badmouth your first choice too badly because they don't want to alienate you.
London was also an odd case just in the last election because there were like 13 or 14 people who ran for mayor. So that was also a unique instance where ranked balloting definitely would have made a difference.
Yeah. When you've got that many candidates running, then first past the post becomes particularly bad.
I assume that you were watching what was happening in London last fall with particular interest. From your reading, what lessons sort of came out of that in terms of not just, you know, it was the result, you know, what people who are for, you know, going with ranked ballots, was it what they expected? And you know, how do you think the people reacted to voting that way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the only thing I know of that is a good indication of that is I know a bunch of the local media staged people outside of the polls and were interviewing people as they came out and asked them what they thought about the new ballots. And I would say that all of the people who were interviewed fell into one of two basic categories in terms of their reaction. There was the people who didn't know that the change was happening, but they managed to vote anyway, and they said, yeah, it was easy, no problem. I just don't understand why we made the change. And they were just kind of out of the loop.
Right.
And then you had all these other folks who were either in the loop and knew the change was happening, and they said, yeah, it was very easy, and I like it, no problem. Or they were out of the loop, but they didn't have any concerns about the change either. They were like, yeah, it seems great.
So relatively risk-free, it seems, just from that small sample.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody who was particularly upset. It was mostly people who were either, you know, positively inclined towards it. They thought it was amazing, or they were kind of indifferent.
Right. And I think that could be a takeaway if we should decide to move that way here, is just to make sure that people are in the know, and perhaps that's something that can be put on the voter ID cards that come in the mail, or, you know, some different type of campaigning that goes on during the election to make people know. I mean, that seems like a relatively small thing to overcome, is the awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the City of London and the staff, they did do a public education campaign of sorts to inform people that this change was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of municipal public education campaigns, they don't always reach very many people, unfortunately. So.
Yes, very true. I do want to get into the Guelph case because you and 123 Guelph are trying to put this on the radar for the city. I think it is on the radar, but perhaps not in the way you want. The city clerk, Stephen O'Brien, did say that this is something they want to explore, but they want to finish the ward boundary and employee compensation review first. Why should these things run in tandem, the review and the exploration of rank ballots? Why is the clerk's answer not good enough for you?
Essentially, I see them as interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like if you were building a house and you needed to decide how thick are the walls going to be and how much insulation are going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one impacts the other. Like, if you're going to put in more insulation, you need thicker walls. And if you are going to have thinner walls, then you don't have room for as much insulation. So, like, you kind of have to make those two decisions together. Otherwise, you could put yourself in a situation where you're stuck and you're not able to do what you actually wanted to do. And I think that's kind of analogous to what's happening with the council review, where we're going to be reviewing the ward boundaries, and it's possible we won't have the same number of wards, mm-hmm. or the same number of councillors per ward, or the number of same number of councillors overall.
Right.
And if you want to get the maximum benefit out of ranked ballots, you do want to have more than one candidate running in each ward.
Right.
So Guelph is in a good place right now in that sense, because we do have two councillors per ward. So if we were to switch to ranked ballots, we would get more benefits out of it than if we were like Toronto or London and we only had one councillor per ward.
Right.
And so, yeah, I see them as interrelated. They both impact each other, as opposed to one just impacting the other, you know, in sequence or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also just trying to minimize redundancy, or if the city's going to be doing a review of the ward boundaries and engaging the public on that anyway, then you might as well address other issues, which they are in fact doing. They've already rolled in other questions with the ward boundary review, like, do we have the right number of counselors? Do we pay them the right amount?
Right.
Should we be giving them staff support, et cetera, et cetera? And it's like, okay, well, if you're going to roll in all these other questions, why not rank ballots as well?
Mm-hmm. I think part of this too, and maybe it's what's holding the clerk back, although if, you know, we're kind of looking at the, how election and governance works, sort of wholesale, maybe we should look at it all together. But I mean, part of this too is that we need to have a debate, a really good debate about electronic voting, internet voting. And I think that's another piece that sort of ranked balloting intersects as well.
I think it depends on who you ask. Personally, I think those are separate questions. Like, from a purely logistical standpoint,
mm-hmm.
using electronic methods definitely makes, you know, counting ranked ballots easier,
mm-hmm.
but it's not necessary. Even if you go to, say, Northern Ireland, they have their legislature using ranked ballots and single transferable vote, and it's all analog, paper and pencil. They don't even use tabulators. So, you know, it's entirely doable. If they can do it on that scale, I'm sure a city the size of Guelph can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the other concerns of the city clerk in terms of timelines is that the ward boundary review is appealable to the LPAT,
yeah.
or former or Ontario Municipal Board. And so, understandably, we want to avoid having an election that is going to be kind of up in the air, or things that need to be known in order to administer an election properly won't be known until late because of an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just raises more questions for me, because I'm like, well, if we knew that that was a potential factor, why didn't we start the review earlier?
Right.
Because the ward boundary review has been brought to the attention of council by staff as far back as 2013, but the council just kept kicking it to can down the road, and now they've left it quite late. So now apparently we don't have enough time to do the process properly because we kept kicking it down the road. And then I'm kind of disappointed about that, to say the least.
Right. Cause they're under the deadline, not just of, as you said, the next election, but it can go to the LPAT and the local planning appeal tribunal. Got it.
Yeah.
But it also they have to have their marshals lined up. I think the deadline is May 1st, 2021. All the paperwork has to be done in terms of like what are the wards, how many councillors can run, how we're going to run the election. All that has to be set up more than a year in advance, according to the provincial rules. So, I mean, yeah, I think almost from a deadline standpoint, like the more work we get done now, the better. But I do want to talk about getting support from inside council, because you do have some councillors you've been in touch with who do agree with your position that this should be looked at sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I've had quite a bit of success talking to people on council about this. I've spoken to everybody on council about it except for two. Mm. And the vast majority of them were at least open to the idea. There's a lot of some of them are openly like, yeah, ranked ballots in the future, it's going to happen eventually regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Others want to do, you know, more investigations and get expert testimony and consult the public, which is totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's always the concern amongst all the councillors of like, well, maybe council making the decision to move to ranked ballot isn't appropriate because there's like a perceived or possibly an actual conflict of interest where the people who are going to be running in the next election are determining what the rules of that election will be.
Right.
and so,
which isn't outside the tradition. I mean, that it, no matter what level of government you're at, the kind of, you know, it's the people in power have sort of been in charge of deciding, you know, unless there's fixed election dates, but, you know, until recently, you know, when we went to the polls and, you know, when the writ period is, and that's been fairly, you know, more, I mean, you can make the argument that it's not very democratic, yeah. But at the same time, we have sort of existed in that world before where the people in charge make the rules, obviously.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, it's pretty much impossible to eliminate the ability of people who are put into a position of power, even if it's done so legitimately, from influencing the rules of the game. That's just the nature of power itself. But I understand the concern, which is why personally and the official position of 123 Guelph is that there should be some public consultations prior, rather than council just implementing it, although we're not opposed to that. That's just not our first choice.
Right.
Because, at the end of the day, there are many voting systems out there, but the one we currently use is literally the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody who studies voting systems agrees. There's total consensus that, like, the existing system is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, we only have one other option, and we know it's better, so it seems like a no-brainer.
Right. Those sometimes are the most difficult things to convince people of, though.
Yes.
I do wonder, too, if, you know, looking at this, if it would be easier if the federal government followed through on its promise to end first past the post at the federal level this year, which, of course, did not happen. But I feel like in the 4 years since, maybe it's just a me feeling, but that was sort of like peak energy for electoral reform. And since then, there's been, you know, a couple of referendums that have failed, and only one city took up, you know, the chance to do ranked ballot in the last election. It just seems like maybe the energy's dissipated a bit, that maybe if Trudeau had followed through and we had electoral reform for the federal election in a couple of months, that maybe this wouldn't be the uphill climb that, you know, you and others like you are experiencing.
Yeah, I suspect you're right that if my hope is that London is the crack in the ice and things begin to get moving, and I think that is going to happen because Cambridge and Kingston both had referenda in 2018, and in both cases,
mm-hmm.
The result of that was that they're going to use ranked ballots in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have three municipalities in Ontario doing it in 2022 at least.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly more if others join suit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm being optimistic, perhaps, but I'm hoping that that's the beginning of the waves that begin giving people the opportunity to use something other than first past the post, get comfortable with it, and then be more open to change. But yeah, if the federal government had gone through with their promise, I suspect there would be a lot more movement on this. I mean, it's funny, at the end of the day, how you count ballots, it's just difficult to make that sexy. but it's so crucial. I mean, it literally impacts everything else because it impacts who ends up winning and being able to make decisions. And
right.
So, you know, whatever your pet issue is, electoral reform should be at least a side issue for you, because it directly impacts who you're going to have to end up lobbying for your pet issue.
Right. Very true. Very true. Maybe you can, or we can just finish up by, you know, if people hear this and they want to help out, or they want to, you know, keep up the pressure, you know, what are some suggestions? How can people get involved?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a website, 123guelph.ca, that's got a bunch of info about what exactly ranked ballots are about and how they work and the benefits of them over first past the post. So that's one way you can get involved. At that website, we also have a petition and some contact forms that you can, you know, send pre-populated messages, or you can write your own message and email it off to council.
Mm-hmm.
And, beyond that, if you just Google ranked ballots in Ontario, there's news stories about what happened in London, so you can read that over as well.
Well, Kevin Bowman, thank you so much for your advocacy, and good luck with the cause. We'll see what happens.
No, thank you very much for having me.
And once again, that was Kevin Bowman, and you can find out more about the efforts of 123 Guelph to promote ranked ballots at their website, which is conveniently 123guelph.ca. The 2018 to 2022 Council Composition and Employment Status Review is currently underway, though the public feedback portion has not been opened yet. Stay tuned for that opportunity, though, because the first phase of the report comes back in the first quarter of 2020. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesdays from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from our host, Podbean, at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. Remember, too, that when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Source's Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or Guelph Politico. You can check out the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. Until then, see you next time.